Hi, everybody. This is Mia Sara, Dr. Harleen Quinzel, better known as Harley Quinn from Birds of Prey. And you're listening to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life.
Hello, fans of all things superhero and metahuman. Welcome to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. I'm your host, Joe Stuber. Welcome to the Comic Book Central Lair, which right now has more of the appearance of Superman's Arctic Fortress of Solitude. It is cold out there.
Okay, campers, rise and shine, and don't forget your booties, because it's cold out there.
It's cold out there every day.
Oh, yes, it is. I got Sonny and Cher ringing in my ears. I got a blizzard outside. But here in the lair, I've got the fire going. I've got a little hot toddy going. I've got a very special guest coming in just a few minutes. So if you're snowed in, what better way to spend the day than by catching up on some of the episodes of Comic Book Central you might have missed? All your favorites are at the website. Check it out, comicbookcentral.net. Be sure to follow the action and hashtag share the lair on Twitter at Comic Book Central, Facebook at facebook.com/comicbookcentralnetwork. Don't forget network. And subscribe to the show on iTunes, where it is a featured podcast. Please be sure to leave a review. I really appreciate it. Tell me what you think of the show. Tell me what you think of some of the guests like Stan Lee, Summer Glau, Lou Ferrigno, Dean Cain, Jamie Alexander, so many others. And, of course, the series, which is getting some love here from Comic Book Central these past few weeks, Birds of Prey. I kicked things off with actress Rachel Skarsgård last week. She portrayed Dinah Lance on the series. This week, well, it might be cold outside, but things are definitely heating up here in the lair as I'm set to welcome my special guest this week. She was the Joker's main squeeze and the evil therapist planning to take over New Gotham on Birds of Prey. It's Harley Quinn. Check this out. I'll be right back to talk with the lovely and talented actress, Mia Sara. Mia Sara was born and raised in Brooklyn Heights. She attended St. Anne's School, where she first developed her interest in acting. She began her acting career with some work in commercials and a recurring role in the ABC soap opera All My Children. But before long, she found herself working on the big-budget fantasy adventure Legend with Tom Cruise and the director of Alien and Blade Runner, Ridley Scott. The following year, Mia struck box office gold with her role as Sloane Peterson, girlfriend of Matthew Broderick's Ferris Bueller in the John Hughes comedy Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That's a film that not only helped define the 80s, in 2014 it was selected for preservation in the National Film Registry. Numerous roles followed, including the Jean-Claude Van Damme action thriller Time Cop, which is based on a story first appearing in Dark Horse Comics. But that film wasn't the last time Mia would step into the pages of the comic book world. Oh no, as fans of Birds of Prey know, Mia was cast in the 2002 WB series as Dr. Harleen Francis Quinzel, a.k.a. Harley Quinn, sometime therapist, full-time villain. Now, the character of Harley Quinn did not originate in the comic books. She made her first appearance September 11th, 1992 in Batman the Animated Series. The episode was called Joker's Favor, and Harley became an immediate hit with fans. A year later, she made her comic book debut in The Batman Adventures, issue number 12. Nearly a decade later, when producers started casting for Birds of Prey, this was the WB's follow-up to Smallville, they cast actress Sherilyn Fenn in the role of Harley for the unaired pilot episode. You can catch that episode on the DVD box set, by the way. But when it came time for the series to air, it was Mia Sara who took on the role in a memorable way. Now, the series is set in a slightly future version of New Gotham. Batman is gone, a trio of crime-fighting superheroines are holding the city together, and Harley Quinn, well, she's got big plans for those who have crossed her beloved Mr. J.
I've only been in New Gotham for a few months, and maybe this kind of pathetic screw-up passes for crime in this town? Things are gonna change. New Gotham ran the Joker out on a rail. Now, he's locked up in a prison far away from here. This city is gonna pay for what they did to my sweet Mr. J. You have a vengeance that will be spoken of in terrified whispers for generations to come. Do you understand?
Not exactly, no.
Oh, I'm gonna take over New Gotham, you idiot.
Joining me today is a versatile actress who portrayed Tom Cruise's better half in Legend, Matthew Broderick's in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Jean-Claude Van Damme's in Time Cop, and the Joker's better half in Birds of Prey. It's Mia Sara. Mia, welcome to Comic Book Central.
Thank you.
Now, I have to ask, how does a 16-year-old high school student at St. Anne's in Brooklyn Heights end up in England on the 007 soundstage filming a movie with Tom Cruise and Ridley Scott? How does that happen?
Yeah.
I mean, you're good. You are amazingly, you're an amazing actress. I don't want to take anything away from that, but from, wow, that's a pretty sizable career leap early on.
Right? That was really lucky. I had a friend, actually a very famous friend. I went to school with Jennifer Connelly, and she also went to St. Anne's, and she had started doing bits of acting and things like that, and I thought, maybe I'll try and do some of that instead of getting my usual summer job. So that's how I started, and so I got an agent, and I was doing auditions, and that film was casting just at the time when I was studying in school romantic poetry, and I think it was this perfect mix. I was this kid who was like full of Wordsworth and, you know, wafting around in my own fantasy.
Unicorns.
And I wandered in, and, you know, the original script was actually written in rhyming, you know, poetry. And it was like, wow, this is it for me.
Oh,
and I think I was just the right girl at that moment.
Now, had they seen your soap opera work at that point? Because you had done some soap opera work, correct? All My Children?
I had done, like, a season of All My Children, which was great, because that was my grandmother's favorite show, and it was, like, so cool. Yeah. But, I'm sure they wouldn't have seen that. No, I know that I probably did been doing the rounds of meeting, you know, casting agents and, you know, in the old days in the business, people spent a lot of time meeting people and talking, you know.
Go figure.
Which benefited me, you know.
taken any acting classes. You hadn't gone full into it. Like some people are like, I'm going to be an actress and like do all these classes and do all these things. But you hadn't done any of that, right?
No, not well in school. I mean, St. Anne's has a pretty, they had and they have now even better, probably. They had a really good drama department. And I had done, you know, I was Juliet in the school play and, you know, things like that. But I had taken acting classes in school, but no, not outside of that.
Okay, because there was an article back in the day I'd read with you, an interview, where you'd mentioned that you thought that acting came to you naturally. You said, performing is a personal thing. I can't see myself attending classes with other actors. That would inhibit me. So, I mean, has that changed over the years, or
it did. I mean, many, many years later, I did take acting classes. I took classes with, you know, several. I took classes with three different people.
Okay.
And it was really, it did really freak me out, but ultimately it really did help. I think, the best classes I ever took were actually the last classes I ever took. There was a teacher called Anita Jesse, and she did a lot of improvisation, which of course fills me with, you know, horror and dread even now, even just to say the word.
Does it really, like when you have to do that, what does that do to you?
To do improvisation?
Yeah.
I just freeze, you know, I just have like a storm of misery in my brain. But I, you know, and my husband actually does, he's a puppeteer and
he is a puppeteer. He's a very good puppeteer.
He's an excellent
For our listeners who don't know who your husband is, go ahead and tell them.
My husband is Brian Henson, who is the son of Jim Henson.
Yeah.
And so he's an excellent puppeteer. But there, you know, when we first got together, they were hoping to expand character development, and I'd seen some of these great puppeteers do some work, and I said, you know what they need? They need improvisation. and you know, this whole great thing has sort of come out of it. So this great teacher Anita Jesse really did. I can't remember when it was I took her classes for maybe a couple years, but it was from that period that I had the nicest run of work, which probably, you know, led up till Birds of Prey, which is pretty much my last, you know, I've kind of retired kind of after that because I got pregnant with my daughter and, you know, I have had a son before. And so I just became, you know, mom in the trench.
Oh, but it's a great role to go out on too. We'll talk about that because it's one of our favorites here. We mentioned Legend, Princess Lily.
Yeah,
this is 1985. So you basically took a break from high school to go work with Tom Cruise and Ridley Scott. What do you remember about the audition process? About just going, because this is like this sort of big time fantasy movie. I mean, this was a pretty big deal.
It was a really big deal. But I remember that I had a crush on Ridley Scott the second I saw him, and Gatz, who was the writer, was so charming, old world, beautiful guy, and they were very kind. And I was flown to London, which ended up being a place where I've lived then later for the better part of my young adulthood. So I was flown to London, and we, you know, went to Pinewood to do these tests, and I fainted like the first night I was there. I was so overwhelmed, and you know, my mom was with me, and I went to Berman's and Nathan's, which is this most amazing costume house, and Charles Node, who was the costume designer, was, you know, fitting me for costumes, and I somehow pricked my finger on a pin or something, and I can't remember how I did it, but it was bleeding, and he said, "Oh, this is great, this is wonderful. If you put the blood on the hem of this dress, you'll get the part." And I did. So who knows? I don't know. It could have been, you know.
Well, it's not surprising you're overwhelmed, because I mean, you're a kid at this time, and Tom Cruise is kind of I mean, he's not Tom Cruise now, but he was kind of Tom Cruise. We got Risky Business, Tom Cruise.
He had done Risky Business, and you know, he was
Tom Cruise.
He was pretty hot stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this was amazing too, and it's a very cool film. You watch this. I'm looking back on this. Was there, like, right before you guys were done shooting, was there like a huge fire on the set? Because they create all the forest stuff? Like, they had gone to search for a real forest, and it was like too expensive, and they built the whole thing on the 007 stage.
It was right. I don't know if it was in the middle of production. It was not. It was not before. Yeah, we burnt down the, well, we didn't, but the 007 stage burnt down. I mean, we'd been shooting on it, and we went to lunch, or I think maybe we were in watching dailies or something, and we came out, and the sky was black, and it was enormous, and it was filled with polystyrene trees, you know, and gas tanks, and, you know, it was unbelievable. And that was one of the reasons why it ended up being an 8-month shoot. And by the time we finished, they had us out in like a paddock, you know, where they were like, "Could you finish your movie over there, please?" Like, way out in like this scene dock, like way over there. In the next county.
Please stop burning our area down.
Yeah.
So that was your break from high school. What was it like going back to class, like regular class, after working with some of the hottest names in Hollywood?
It was hard. Really hard. It was. I mean, fortunately, St. Anne's was and still is kind of a unique environment. So it probably wasn't as strange as, you know, it might be. I mean, it wasn't really a normal school. So I was not the only, you know, professional actor, actress, you know, in the school. And, you know, it was a pretty progressive environment. So, but it was hard. It was hard just, you know, personally.
Well, speaking of sitting in class, Peterson, Sloan, yeah. Peterson.
Yeah.
This is what are you okay talking about this? It's so huge.
I'm totally fine.
I mean, you kind of wonder when, you know, like for us, we watch these films. Of course, we're talking about Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I mean, this thing just became bigger than anything. Written, directed, produced by the great John Hughes. Next year, I can't believe this is going to be the next year is going to be the 30th anniversary of this film. It's probably more popular than ever. When did you kind of gauge that? Oh, this is bigger than I'm ever going to believe it could be.
I really don't think it ever really hit me until my kids are really embarrassed about it. Honestly,
They don't think it's cool, or are they like?
No, it's so not slow. Cool for them.
Oh,
no. It's just embarrassing. It's something to be got through.
Really? Okay.
They've both come home from school at different times and said, okay, it's okay now. Everyone knows and it's fine. So I don't know. I don't know, you know, if it's something specific to the movie that, you know, it's about school or something that it's particularly because...
You haven't put your finger on it? Like the appeal to every... I mean, because this thing just is going generations now.
Well, I think... I don't know. Because it's like everyone's fantasy. I think Matthew's really amazing in it. I think that I think the production design, the costume design, I think the world that John created in that movie, I think it's sort of kind of, it was real, but not. I think it's indelible. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It doesn't age because it's sort of hyper real anyway.
Right. Yeah, you can watch any generation can watch it and identify with it.
I think so. I think it was a really successful mixture. I think that addressing the camera, you know, I think mm-hmm. you know, there's, you know, I know John Hughes was always referencing the movie Alfie with Michael Caine.
Where he breaks the fourth wall.
Yeah, and I know that was a bit, you know, that I think that's another element. I mean, it's just, I know it's been done now, you know, again, but I think that's part of why it just feels so personal.
Yeah, I mean, even just a few years ago, people went bonkers when Matthew Broderick appeared in the commercial. You know, just kind of, were you called at all about the commercial, the Honda commercial?
I had a friend who was sort of peripherally involved, and he called and said, but that was, yeah, it was never it never got any farther than
okay,
that.
So you were at, were you, you were approached about it?
Not formally, no.
Okay, but just kind of like, hey, are you, so, okay. I just, it would have been cool to see Sloan walking by. That would have just been interesting. Yeah. But I know, that's for us.
I'm sure I would have done it, but nobody asked.
There wasn't anything official, so. Those iconic scenes, when you think about the parade in Chicago, just what was it like to be in the middle of, that had to be just unbelievable to film that. It's just, you're actually in the middle of the parade.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was, I can't believe that we did that because, you know, we'd film a little piece and, you know, Matthew's on the float and we'd do the little thing and then we'd run, like just run. And, you know, who decided how far to go, whatever. And we'd run and we'd just wait again and then do it again. It was great. It was so amazing because people got so into it and because it was the real parade. And yeah, I mean, it satisfied every fantasy I ever had as a kid because I grew up in New York of being in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I thought, you know, I've done that. I don't need to do that again.
There had to have been some laws that were skirted, I would think. This thing, like, you guys shot everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. When you're in that, you're driving the Ferrari, you're in all these things, do you get a sense of how big this is going to be, or is it just, okay, what's the next movie? Or like, when you guys are filming this, do you know?
No, not at all, because, you know, I think that the fact that Legend, you know, was so, you know, when it came out, it was such a disappointment initially. I think it just scarred me for life. And so I never, you know, I just never thought that anything was going to be bigger than whatever. And also, you know, I mean, whereas Legend, I had an incredible experience making that movie. That was like, that's like my internal life come true, you know. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, just personally for me, was a difficult time. You know, 17, and everyone else, for the most part of that main cast, were older, and they were more experienced. And, you know, I was a little out of my depth, and I was not very happy making that movie. So that, you know, I know that might that's kind of disappointing. But
had to kind of play older than you were, though, correct? Like, Sloane's kind of like the voice of reason in all this, and they're the kids. But you're a kid in the movie.
Yeah. Well, you know, but I think I got the part because I was a kid who seemed like they knew what they were talking about, but I really didn't.
Acting.
Yeah.
Amazing. Favorite moment from the film with Matthew Broderick or any of the cast? Like, just something you just remember, you're like, oh, I'm going to take that with me forever.
The stuff in the car was really funny because, you know, Matthew and Alan had worked together quite a bit in the theater. They'd done Biloxi Blues. And so they had this whole shtick. And I was laughing. So really, pretty much, if there's a shot of me in the car that where I managed to have a straight face for even 2 seconds, it's a miracle because they were like, they were nonstop, total ridiculous shtick. If they weren't like just farting, you know, to make me laugh, they were just really, really funny. So that one, I think, is, you know, that was hysterical.
I think you're quoted somewhere saying he was actually tickling your feet in the car.
They were just doing everything to crack me up.
It worked. It's a great scene. Did Sloane and Ferris get married?
Yeah, because I think that that relationship was very much based on John's relationship with his wife, and he was madly in love with his wife, and she'd been like, you know, sort of like the dream girl, and so yes, I think so.
That's all I need to know about it. Happy ending. It is Comic Book Central. I'd be remiss before we get to Birds of Prey. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about Time Cop. It's based on the Dark Horse Comics short story. What was it like working with the muscles from Brussels, Jean-Claude Van Damme?
It was funny.
Is it everything we'd think it would be?
You know what? Yeah. Yes, I think it is everything that you think it would be. He was very nice to me, and I had actually a lot of fun on that movie. I really enjoyed. I really liked the crew, and you know, shooting in Vancouver, I'd spent a lot of time there, so I felt very at home, and it was fun. It was fun.
It's his biggest hit to date. When you get a script involving time travel, do you try to figure it out, or do you just run with it?
Yeah, no, I don't figure it out. No. I am not a science girl.
Does it make your head hurt to watch Back to the Future trilogy and try to figure out all the?
I guess so. I just go for the ride.
Yeah.
To go for the ride. I am not like Miss Plot Hole, you know?
Yeah.
Like, everyone else in my family is like, oh, that was terrible. I'm like, really? I didn't notice that at all.
Let's just watch JCVD beat people up, right?
Yeah. I haven't seen that movie. I actually would love to see that movie. I see like 3 movies a year, so I don't know.
Well, it's kind of cool. I mean, you die, you don't die, you're there, you're not. I mean, it's all over the map, so. Anyway, Time Cop, yep, based on a comic book. All right, Birds of Prey. Are we ready to talk about Dr. Harlene Quinzel?
Yeah.
Okay. In my interview with Rachel Skarsgård, I mentioned this was easily a show that was a decade ahead of its time. If it premiered today, you're getting at least 5 seasons out of it.
Yeah.
Everything's a comic book movie today. I think it's coming straight out of the Tim Burton movies. Had you seen those up to that point? Were you aware of them? Were you a comic book fan? I always hate to ask this because it's like, did you read comic books? Like, we did. Probably not. I know. Like a small percentage do, so don't worry about it.
I'm really ashamed to admit this, but it was more like, you know, Archie and Veronica. But
I love Archie and Veronica. I grew up on. Those were my first comic books. I love them.
Okay, great. Richie
Rich,
really
I'm all that, yeah.
Richie Rich, Cast of the Ghost.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was into all of it.
No, you're good. Your cred went up. You're good.
Okay. and so, but yeah, I don't know. I I did know who Harley Quinn, because I would read like a Batman comic or, you know, there was a cool store when I was a kid in Brooklyn Heights where you get comics. And so I did like comics, but I know it was such a bummer. For me, and I also... I mean, I'm a fantasy, you know, I like fantasy movies, so, I love Tim Burton movies, and I feel so fortunate to have worked in England when I did, because You know, that was an era where, you know, all those really rich, amazing, beautiful fantasy movies were being made, and I feel really lucky that I was there at the time. But, and Harley Quinn, to me, I mean, my husband gave me the best compliment I'd ever had. He saw, you know, an episode or something, and he said, you know what? You're like, you're doing a Tim Curry here. And it was like the biggest compliment.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Because he's also worked for Tim, and I love Tim. Love him.
That is a great compliment.
And to me, that was like, okay, I finally made it. if I'm doing a Tim Curry, I'm good.
Well, it's interesting, too, because when you get the box set, the DVD box set, it's got all the episodes on it. There is the unaired pilot that features Sherilyn Fenn as Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Okay, so how much did you know about the original casting process? Why? How did you come in?
You know what?
How did all that happen?
I had done a pilot for the then WB. I had done a pilot about Oz, and I played the Wicked Witch in that, and it didn't get picked up, but I think everyone loved it, and so I, you know, when they needed to recast that role, I think, you know, they thought of me because it was, you know, a similar vibe. So
okay.
I think that's how I, so I didn't, I wasn't, I, you know, I didn't, I didn't read for the original pilot. But I think that was the way it happened.
Was Sherilyn unavailable or were they going in a different direction? What
no
indication
idea.
Did you, oh, so they never,
no,
you never even
I
talked
don't
about
know.
It?
Like,
yeah, because I know with actors, it's like, I don't want to know, just,
yeah,
do I get
no,
the part
I,
or not?
Yeah.
How did you, when you're reading the character, because you knew a little bit of the background, I don't know if you had seen the animated series, that's where she sort of made her premiere on the animated series, but how did you know, like, what level of crazy to bring in? Because it's like, she's this psychiatrist, but by night, she's you know, in therapy with the Huntress, but
if only my therapist really was like a super baddie, it would be so much more satisfying.
Like, how did you walk that line as an actress? Because it's total opposites. I mean, you're walking a fine line there.
I don't know. I really just it was so fun. I mean, it really kind of ruined me for anything else, really. I mean, I think that, you know, once had fun doing that and that kind of schizoid type thing, you just feel like, you know, I don't want to go in and, like, you know, read for some procedural thing, you know?
Yeah.
You just feel like, nah.
I would imagine as an actress, that's like the gift role where you get like basically two roles.
It was so great for me because it really is only, you know, at that point, you know, much later in my, you know, checkered career that I really discovered how fun it was to be funny, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it was the great, I could have done that role forever.
What was the most
really fun.
What was the most challenging aspect of shooting the series for you?
Night shooting. I really hate night shooting. I really hate it. It's probably why I've retired because, you know, in a TV series, and in that one in particular, you know, by the end of the week, you are behind. And so by the end of the week, you are just shooting in the middle of the night. I am not a night person. I never have been. And it's just agony. It's like physically agonizing for me to be awake at 4 o'clock in the morning and try and work. It's really hard.
Well, and you're also throwing down in some scenes, too, because you I mean, you can fight.
Your
character can,
I mean,
fight. She's just not a therapist. She fights.
Yeah, yeah.
What was your training regimen like to be able to get – because you're very convincing. And, like, how many of the stunts did you do? And
I didn't do – I don't think I did any of the stunts. But I'm – well, you know, I'm –
you're throwing some spin kicks I'm seeing on there, unless there's a really
no,
close
no, 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 that's
one.
Not me. That's
oh, okay. That looked really good then.
Yeah, they had a
okay. You had a very dead on stunt woman then.
No, I mean, I'm pretty fit, you know.
Yeah, but you're not throwing down. You're calling in the stunt woman.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm not. No.
Always good to find that out. Sometimes as act. Well, you worked with Tom Cruise. I mean, the guy hangs off
yes,
skyscrapers,
and,
so you never know.
And I thought it was really silly. But anyway.
Why would he do that? There's a stuntman heading by.
I think it's really silly.
Did the producers give you like comic books or show you the animated series, or like how did they prepare you for this role, or were you just going in just based on the scripts that were coming at you?
They didn't give me anything. I mean, I went and watched some episodes of the animated show, and
okay.
You know, got some comic books but they were very much, you know, because look, you know, they're, you know, they always want to create their own things. they were doing their own thing.
Yeah, and it does have a very distinct look to it. Had the producers and writers discussed at least an end game for Harley's actions? Because as you're moving through the episodes, she's trying to get to an end game. Had they talked about where your character arc was going to go, at least for that first season?
Not with me.
Okay. So they hadn't talked about like reuniting with the Joker or taking over New Gotham or anything like that?
No. They should have. They should have. No, you know, I think it's a while ago, but I know that internally, I know there were a lot of conflicts about the tone and how far to go. And in that case, they did speak to me because, you know, I was doing what I was doing, and I know that there were some people that were thinking that was too far or it wasn't the right tone. I mean, ultimately, you know, they went with what I was doing, but I know that there were a lot of creative conflicts going on behind the scenes. Not, I wasn't certainly privy to a lot of them, but anyway, it's a bummer. That's all I can say is that was a great gig and everyone was having fun, and it's a shame.
Well, I'm guessing they were probably getting notes as they're going on, like the ratings are this, let's tweak this, and then they're probably like, as you say, retooling behind the scenes, so that's probably not going to trickle down to the actors as much. A lot of your scenes were in therapy sessions with Helena Kyle. So what was your relationship like with Ashley Scott when you're doing those scenes? Because you're basically trying to get into her head.
Yeah, she is adorable. She is a great girl, seriously. I thought she was just the bomb. Completely adorable girl.
What, any favorite moments from the series? Like, you know, because Rachel Skarsgård talked about like hanging out and having like popcorn parties and stuff. And
oh god,
did you guys get to like hang out at all with the cast, or did you get to bond with any like Dina Meyer? And
You know what? I had a little boy at home.
Okay,
so
oh, you had a family at home.
If I had, you know, I mean, it, and that was tough because I didn't.
Yeah, she was young. She was a kid. She was very young.
I didn't have full time help, so it was a struggle for me, actually. You know, it was a struggle to kind of figure out childcare. And, you know, yeah. There were a couple days when he came to the set with me because I couldn't swing it. So, you know, if I didn't have to be there, I was not there.
This was your son, you said?
Yeah.
How old was your son? Was, like, he old enough on the set to kind of know what was going on?
I don't know. How old is he? Let's see. He'll be 18.
This would have been, like, 2002?
So he was 4?
Okay, so you get to see some superheroes running around. Did he kind of like?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's sort of seen it all before.
Still a little
you know,
young for that.
He'd been in England with me when I was making a miniseries called Jack and the Beanstalk, The Real Story.
Yeah, right.
Okay. And he was on the set a lot, so he'd sort of seen a lot more than that. So.
Okay, probably, yeah, some bigger spectacle on that one. What aspect of Harley Quinn didn't we get to see? Because it was, obviously the series was cut short. Where would you like to have seen the character go? Because you obviously, they did give you an opportunity to wrap it up. It's like, hey, we're getting canceled. Here's a final episode. Let's have a knockdown drag out.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you mentioned it, I think that, you know, I think that her obsessive love for the joke, I think that would have been a really cool thing to be able to do. You know, that relationship.
Would we have seen the Joker? Had they talked about the Joker coming? Because Rachel mentioned that, Batman was going to come back. Because at the very end, we see Alfred on the phone with Bruce Wayne. So we know Batman's
right.
Around.
They didn't. I mean, you know, they really weren't telling me.
Okay.
I think to me, that would have been, I would have liked to, because that's an interesting thing.
You got to wear a variation of the costume, though. That was pretty cool.
Gosh, you know what? I don't remember it.
Oh, well, you see, in all fairness, I have binge-watched recently, so.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't, I mean, you know.
You'd look well.
He was probably, like, at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was like, whatever, put it on, just do it.
Give me my kid, let's go.
Yeah.
Give me a second to feed him. I will say this, we've watched it, my wife and I watched it recently. We watched it recently. You look amazing as Harley Quinn, so, yeah, it did get cut short, and that is a bummer. But any interest in current comic book projects? You mentioned you're semi-retired?
I'm fully retired? I'm pretty retired.
Okay. Well, if somebody came knocking and said, hey, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Arrow, they're doing a lot of, you know, there's all kinds of Batman stuff going on. If somebody said, hey, a cameo or something, would you be interested in that, or are you pretty much done?
Oh, no. I would, you know, if someone, you know, is specifically interested in me, then I would absolutely go for it. But I'm certainly not actively pursuing work at all as an actress.
Okay, but if Marvel or DC came a calling, you'd suit up and get into the metahuman world again.
Oh, absolutely. It's just, you know, I just can't do the grind of what people do, actors do, you know,
yeah.
to keep their career going. I'm just doing other stuff, so.
Speaking for every comic book fan, we would love to see Mia Sara back in that world again. So,
well, thank you.
Well, let's talk about the latest things you are working on. You mentioned poetry. You're doing more poetry?
I'm doing, all poetry.
Okay.
You know, that's, I
what forms and genres are you writing? Like, what do you gravitate toward?
I guess it's just lyric poetry. It's, some of it's more narrative, some of it's, you know, I don't usually write in any particular form, but I have a bi-monthly column at a really terrific literary journal called Pank. And you published a chapbook last year, and I'm actually just beginning to work on a full-length manuscript. And, you know, I've been published in, you know, nowhere that you would know, like lots and lots
of literary journals. Is there a website? Or?
I mean, not the New Yorker, that way. But
is there a website or anything we can see some links to these, some of your work?
You know what? I am working on it. I'm kind of working on getting a friend of mine is building me a website so that I actually have a place to, you know, direct people. But
okay. Well, when you have that, you'll let us know, and we'll
absolutely.
Let all the listeners know. That'll be something. And you have your pilot's license.
I do, but that's so lapsed, I got to say.
Okay. You don't fly.
No, I don't fly anymore.
Okay. But you could if you wanted to.
I could help in an emergency.
Okay. And I saw you recently described, I love this too, you recently described yourself as the lady in feathers in the carpool lane.
Yes.
You're definitely a mom, but you're like a fashion mom, right?
Well, you know, it's the whole mom school thing can get really, I don't know, it can get really depressing. So you have to do something to kind of like get your mood elevated. So.
You're the coolest mom on the planet, aren't you?
Well, we'll see.
All right. And we'll talk about family a little bit. You mentioned Brian Henson. I've got to ask, is there a Dark Crystal prequel on the horizon?
Oh, there are definitely things cooking.
Okay. What can you tell us, if anything?
So that
is in your husband's brain.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Or things? Well, no. I mean, you know, not. I, you know, it's. I know that it has been talked about over the years, but there's nothing specifically that I can tell you about.
Okay. But it's not like he's like, I'm done with that. I'm not going back to.
No, no. It's not. It's not that. It's just, you know.
Okay, we'd love to see it. I mean, so if there's any news, but at least we know that it's in his brain and that he's maybe gravitating toward that direction at some point.
Is that fair enough?
That I
can't say, but it certainly it comes up. I know they thought of it as they think of expanding on other properties over there, but it's. You know, there's nothing specific.
Okay, maybe over dinner you guys can talk about this and, you know, maybe make a return to acting in the world
of
fantasy. You can return to the world of unicorns and puppets and craziness again.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, really.
Well, we would love to see it. We would love to see it. Are you on social media anywhere, or how can fans find out more about you, or they want to find out?
I am on Instagram at Mia Sara Writes. And I also have a Tumblr, same thing. And I guess that's also like my Facebook. So miasarawrites.tumblr.org, however you find it. I'm really, really trying to figure it out. It's not a natural thing for me, but I'm just trying to do it. So
And if there are any upcoming appearances or things going on, I'm sure we'll find out about it there. I'm sure fans would love to just kind of touch base with you about Birds of Prey and some of these other things. And get a picture of Harleen Quinzel signed. That would be awesome. So hopefully one of these days, we can check you out at these places. And Mia, I want to thank you so much for taking the time today, not only to talk about some of these projects, including Ferris Bueller, one of the greatest films of all time. It is. But also this very cool look back at Birds of Prey. I thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
Thank you very much, Joe.
Well, my thanks again to Mia Sara for joining me in the lair today. If you want to catch up with Mia and read some of her poetry, I'm going to put those links up on the show notes. Those to her Instagram page, Tumblr, Facebook pages, those will all be there in the show notes over at the Comic Book Central website, comicbookcentral.net. And as I mentioned last week, if you haven't seen Birds of Prey yet, if you missed it the first time around, as soon as this episode of Comic Book Central is finished, head over to Amazon. It's less than a buck an episode for the entire series, and you get both versions of that pilot episode we talked about, so you can compare and contrast. You can also check out the knockdown dragout finale with all of the superheroes taking on Mia's Harley Quinn, who, by the way, gets a little metahuman juice to amp her up. It's pretty cool. I'll put that link up to the show notes as well. Get the box set. You're going to love it. Again, the website for Comic Book Central, comicbookcentral.net. Links to everything you heard about in today's show, past episodes, they're all there. Be sure to check out Comic Book Central on Facebook. It's facebook.com/Comic Book Central Network. Share the lair. Follow Comic Book Central on Twitter at ComicBookCTRL. Subscribe to the show on iTunes. Again, please be sure to leave a review if you're enjoying the show. Let me know what you think about it. Drop me a line, joe@comicbookcentral.net, or click the Signal Me tab on the website, comicbookcentral.net. All right, kiddies, that is it for today. I've got to head out and shovel the front walk to the lair, make sure my guests have a path to get in here. I've got something I'm working out in the next couple of days. I hope to be able to stick with this theme next week. Of course, that's Birds of Prey. It's not locked down yet, so I don't want to promise it, but we're either going to wrap things up in New Gotham next week, or there's another big surprise on the way. That one I have locked in. So it's either going to be next week or the week after. I will give you a few hints. It's in the DC universe. It's another character that debuted on television, not in the comic books. But that character is in the comic books these days in a big way. I may have given away too much. So you probably figure it out. That's either going to be next week or the week after. But we're either going to stick with Birds of Prey. We'll figure it all out. But check out the Facebook page. Check out Twitter. You'll be the first ones to know as soon as I lock that down. I'll let you know for sure. In the meantime, have a fantastic week. Check out those past episodes on comicbookcentral.net. Stay warm, my friends. Keep reading those comics, and thanks for joining me here in the lair, Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. This podcast is intended for entertainment and education purposes only. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Comic Book Central and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivations 3.0 Unported License. All other content and names are registered trademarks and copyrights of their respective holders.
I had a great time today.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
You knew what you were doing when you woke up this morning, didn't you?
Me? Oh, I have to go. I'll play tonight.
Okay. I love you.
I love you too.
He's gonna marry me.